Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday night, and that's Raising Expectations night. And we're sure glad you tuned in tonight. We want you to remember and kind of have an attitude of prayer. Some of our good friends in Houston, including our wonderful friends and family there at BBS Radio, they're all around that area. They've had some tornadic activity, and they've had some real difficulty. So why don't you be an attitude of prayer for them tonight? As they continue to see, and hopefully people will be okay through all of this. So, but we're thinking about this week. It's Thanksgiving, as you all know. We are all believers. We believe in God, and He says He's God, and He is God. He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, and it makes us thankful for who we are and whose we are and whom we're going to be with someday. And I sure hope I got the English right on that, because I didn't major in that. But in any event, you know what's happening this week. It's Thanksgiving. And so Melba and I, we're glad. This is my wife, Melba, and we're sure glad that you're with us tonight. Thanksgiving is something that goes with the word thankfulness. If anybody was ever thankful in this world, it would have been the pilgrims. And we know the story. The real historical facts of that story are simply incredible. And do yourself a favor and go beyond the things that we know about that and begin to really study what they did and how they affected the lives of people, because God was in the difficulty, beginning all the way on that beautiful scenic cruise on the Princess cruise ship. No, that wasn't it. They came across on a different route and a very different storm. And talk about seasickness. I've been told it probably took 3 months to get over it and 3 months to pick it up on the way. So in any event, they were thankful. The same God that gave them a thankful heart is the same one who works in our lives. So tonight, like you read about, we're going to be talking about, are you thankful in your life for difficulties? Mm-hmm. And when you look over your shoulder, can you see difficulties in the past that look perhaps insurmountable? And now they become a source of peace, a source of restoration, a source of happiness with your relationship with God, because just like He said, He was at work in the whole thing, because He had a blessing and growth and preparation that He was doing in your life. Thankfulness for difficulties seems like an oxymoron, but actually it's an incredible blessing. So we're going to talk about that tonight. You know our team on the West Coast. I'm going to go right through this for time tonight, but we have Dr. Paul Hall, and he's right there in Lompoc, north of Santa Barbara. Great to see Dr. Paul Hall, retired pastor, teacher, my friend, my brother in Christ for a long time. So good to see you, Paul.
Good doing to see all- you. Thanks.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. If I was going to say something there, but I won't. I'll tell you later, Paul. You just reminded me of something, since you're all family, we'll fill you in. But in any event, we're going to go all the way to the west, the east coast. And tonight, Steph and Dr. Craig, or Dr. Tank, as we call them, they can't be with us. They're really tied up. It's Thanksgiving week. They have a tremendous family all flying in. They're going to be picking up kids and family. It's going to be a wonderful time for them. So we're rejoicing with them. And they'll be back later to share with us. We're going to talk about this subject off and on in the coming months. So they'll be back. That's Steph and Craig Thayer, Dr. Thayer there in Dalton, Georgia. So as we come back across, we come to Central America, as we always say, and that's where one of our favorite pastors in all of the world in the great state of Texas, and that's Ron Greer. He is with Man in the Mirror. He's a pastor. He's done so many things in his life. Most of all, like everybody you meet on our family, we call them our family and our team. They are just born-again believers who love the Lord, and boy, that love just comes out to each and every one of us, and we hope that, as you often share with me, you feel it when we're all together on Monday nights. So, we're going to move right along for time here tonight, and we have a very special guest again with us. She's part of our family. She is Janet Price, and you know she is the president of Golden State Republican Women. A great picture there with the flag, and they're in the Golden State in California here, and she does a tremendous job reaching and working with just hundreds and thousands of ladies all over the state that stand on conservative values, love the Lord, love this state, and love the United States of America. Janet's done an outstanding job. She's been, I've just been blessed, been my friend since high school, and I'm so glad to see what God's done in her life. That was just a few years back, and more than a few, compounded to the something, square root of that is a long time. But that's a long time. So we're going to begin tonight and just move right along, and we're going to talk about this, and Janet has a couple of thoughts on this. We're always pleased. We want you to give the round of applause for Janet Price here on Raising Expectations, and we're glad this year. That's it. Good to have you with us, Janet. We're so glad you're with us tonight.
I love that round of applause.
That's it?
You can't hear me, Melba? Did you say you can't hear me?
Ron.
Oh, Ron. Okay. Well,
oh,
yeah.
Take it off mute.
Take yourself off mute, Ron.
There you go.
Good to see you, Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hey, he does have a voice.
Yeah, you owe him, Janet. Welcome to the family. You owe him.
Anyway, I love Thanksgiving. I mean, really, it's one of my most favorite holidays because it gets to the point of where we all should be, and that's with the attitude of gratitude, right? And I think you had talked, Joe, about saying what are some hard things in your life that you look back on now and are really grateful for because God used it as, well, I feel like I've been through a meat grinder. I have a meat grinder upstairs. I was going to bring it because I really feel that's what I've been through. But God does that to tenderize us.
Yes.
He really does.
Amen.
And if we have any fleshiness to us or anything that is prideful, boy, he knocks it right out of us with the difficulties. And I think that's the only way we learn. Only way. Do you know anybody who has had a really cushy life and who became a strong person of God? It doesn't teach us anything.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It doesn't.
Amen.
So I just wrote down some things, what gratitude does. There are way too many things for me to take you through in my life about what were the hard times and what did you learn? I mean, we'd be here for hours and hours, and I'm sure all of you would too. So I have just found out that what gratitude is, first of all, I think it's God's panacea. It's like a medicine to us for whatever ails us. Gratitude, if you start with that, and it's a great preparation for prayer, it will help with anything. It's good medicine. Yeah. I think if we're starting, if we have problems in our body and our health, whatever, if we start thanking God every day to show us what he's trying to teach us through that illness, through that infirmity, he will. And then we can actually afterwards be very grateful for that. So it's good medicine. It's good therapy. I could have been in a psychiatrist's room on a couch taking meds many times in my life. But prayer connected me with Dr. Jesus, the real therapist.
Amen.
And I've been so grateful because everything that we deal with in life, is taken care of by that. It's also good for financial replenishment. If we are nervous, is God going to replenish our coffers? Yes, he said he will never leave us or forsake us. So if we start thanking him before we see that monetary replenishment, he will honor that because it shows we trust him. And I
Yes.
think that's opens the doors. It's also good company if we're lonely. God will always listen to us. God will always be there, and we can always talk to him. It's also good for peace in our hearts because this is such an anxious time in our world. I mean, you turn on the news tonight. Don't turn on the news tonight. Just say, just a little tip. Don't turn on the news. Stay peaceful and grateful, and you'll have a good night's sleep. And that's the best way to get peace when the world is spinning. It's also good for healing body, mind, and spirit. I mean, I can't think of anything. It doesn't answer a need that we have. All of us have these needs. I've had all these needs, still do. And I have learned to honestly praise him with thanksgiving and with gratitude. And I know that that opens the door, and he can work better in my
Amen.
life when I do that.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry for being so wordy.
Oh, no, those.
Among preachers. Yeah, sure. Okay, don't worry about it.
Well, thank
It's
you.
a
Good point.
hazard
Good point.
we
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's there's something came to mind there, and then it just left. So we should have left a note. It was really good.
And gratitude's good for memory.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Janet. That's good. Yeah. Sometimes people they teach us, as we're growing and learning, like you're saying, Janet, the gratitude of knowing that God is here. I love the way Zig Ziglar used to always tell us, you should have an attitude of gratitude, just like you were saying,
Exactly.
along that
Exactly.
line. We're always told, work hard, put the pieces together, think, concentrate, learn how to study, learn how to put things together. And then when those things don't come together, the frustration at times is worse than others. Those kind of self-inflicted things that we get into our own lives. And then there's the ones where we get people do things to us, or groups do things to us that we don't understand, that come along and we have absolutely no control over whatsoever. And they want to send us back to the doctor, like you said, and grab another session on the chair. Because when we can't come up with the answers, just our very human spirit is so empty and so difficult to grab a hold of it, unless we go where the Lord is and he says, hey, like that old song, he was there all the time, standing patiently in line. He was there all the time. But in thinking about that, Janet, I had one thing I wanted to do, something I just love these guys and these people, and I know you do, and we love you too. And it's such a great family. And old Ron Greer over here, he is one of the greatest brothers you're ever going to know in the Lord, huh, Paul? I tell you,
That's
we
right.
always,
Amen. Amen.
amen. So, and Ron is one of those guys that has learned an awful lot of things coming through things. And back at our church, he gave an incredible story right along the line of what you're saying, Janet. And in fact, it was so good he sent it to us. Said, I got to thinking about this, what she was going to share. And I said, well, Ron, let's just share it. He gave a testimony with Rosalind, his wife, and I just thought it was really, really good. And here's a guy that he came through the stuff like we all have. Janet, like you're sharing, and I know you've come through things, Janet, and you've done such an incredible job and continue to bless so many lives. But we asked TJ, and I asked Ron if it's okay with him. It was for us to look at, but he's got a little clip here. We'd like to see this clip and have him share. Ron, that's okay with you, brother. We love you. Want people to
That's
see
okay
it.
with me. All
And then come back and say a word after and bring it
right.
back to where she said, thanks, Janet.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. And as you're taking a seat, I want to ask Ron and Rosalind Greer to make their way to the platform for our generosity talk this morning. They've been members here since 2007. Ron is active in our parking ministry. You see him out there all the time wearing the fluorescent, rain or shine, cold or heat, and who knows what you're getting Texas weather these days, but he's out there serving his wife Rosalind in the choir, and they're going to be speaking to us regarding generosity and making sure that we live with open hands and open hearts. Would you welcome Ron and Rosalind Greer?
Thank you, Jared, and thank you, church. It is always a privilege and a pleasure to be able to give testimony of the goodness and grace of God in our lives. Rosalind and I have been a part of Prestonwood since about 2007. I'm getting old. But we were drawn to this church because of its commitment to the preaching, the faithful preaching of the Word of God. But we were also drawn not only by its preaching of the Word, but its faithful doing of the Word of God through ministry in the lives of thousands and thousands of people. So we have been here since then. Rosalind and I came to Prestonwood in a kind of roundabout way from a place called Madison, Wisconsin, where after about 19 years, I lost my job as a firefighter there. Well, I didn't lose it. I mean, I knew where it was. They just said it couldn't happen anymore. But doing that, and it happened in a very public way. So during that time, a very public exposure, there were friends of ours and family who were filled with anxiety and stress and worried about the whole thing. But they were impressed by the fact that we weren't. We had a sense of peace about it and comfort in the process, because early in our Christian life, God had taught us early on that everything we had, everything that came to us, came from him and belonged to him. It was all his. So when this situation came about, we were able to rest in what we already knew about God. And what we knew about him, he did. Through countless people, even around the world, faithful, generous people of God, supplied our every single need, our family of five and our brand new home and loss of dad's income. We never missed a mortgage payment, we never missed a bill, and we never went without anything because of the faithful and generosity of God's people. That situation solidified in our minds that truth we knew, that God is a faithful and generous God, and that he has given us the privilege of imitating him by being generous givers to his work. And through that, we've seen a number of lives change for the glory of God. So I want to challenge you to ask God and allow the Spirit of God to move on your heart, that you might indeed become a generous giver to God. Because when you were generous in our giving, God generously gives to us. Amen? Let's pray. Our God, again, we thank you for your love and grace in our lives. Lord, for your faithfulness and your generosity in giving to us. We pray now as we take this offering that, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit among the hearts of your people, that they would be generous and joyful in their giving as well, that your work might be done, Lord, that your kingdom might be spread abroad, that lives might be changed, Lord, that your name might be lifted high. In the end, that every man, woman, and child in this world would come to know that you are indeed God and there's none other. We thank you for the privilege, Lord. Now make us worthy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, when you least expect it, God always meets the need. Thanks, brother.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. Who was that guy again? No.
I don't know, but no. He's old. I like no. That.
No, that was, I mean, again, we talk about things that, again, that kind of deepen our thankfulness to God and our sort of gratitude to the Lord. And that was one of the sort of crowning moments for us. That was probably about almost a 3-year ordeal, $890,000 in legal fees. We were on the newspaper, radio or TV at least 2 or 3 times a week, death threats, and also we were laughing stocks and became a nationwide story, actually. But through the entire, as I said, through the entire process, there are times when we felt like, you know what, not in despair. I think my one frustration I had was I can never hear the Lord speaking, and it just didn't hear. And the one thing I did hear slightly echo here and there was, just trust me. Do you trust me? I explained to a friend of mine during that process once. He said, "Ask how we were doing, how I was feeling." I said, "Well, I feel like I'm in a raft on the Snake River going down the river. I have no oars. I have no way of guiding it. And on each side of me are these sky high cliffs and walls, and I can't do anything but sit in the boat and go through it, hold tight and go through it." And in the midst of it all, it was just, that's the only thing we heard was just trust me. But again, I think that was God working in us a deeper trust, because we thought we trusted him. And he said, "Okay, let me show you." But he did. He did a marvelous work in all of us, and not just us. It was, I mean, there are people to this very day, and that was 1998, believe it or not. There are people, I visit Wisconsin today, I'll meet them, and they'll talk about the inspiration they receive because you and your wife weren't crazy and you didn't scream and yeah, blah, blah, blah. And believe it or not, there's one guy on Facebook friends now. His name's David. I met David at a men's conference a few years later. David said that on the city hall steps, when I was people screaming at me and the media was yelling, he saw this guy who had stood there quietly, never lashed out, and didn't look angry. And it caused him to question whether or not this Christianity was real or not. He got saved a few months after that. And he's still still following the Lord for something like that. But again, Thanksgiving is one of those times when I get very cynical about people and the way we kind of flippantly do it. And just Thanksgiving and gratitude, period. It's because God has done so incredibly much for all of us,
yes,
beyond our imagination at times. I mean, how can you not be just eternally grateful to him? How can you not be thankful? It's just hard to imagine at times. And then I go back to the scripture, right? I mean, one in particular, Deuteronomy 5, God says, "Remember the days in Egypt and the things you went to and not how I delivered you." It comes back again in Deuteronomy 8. He says that you were to remember the Lord's deeds that he's done for you in the wilderness. I think it's Psalms 107, 105, right? Remember the wonders that the Lord has done in your life. He goes on and on and on and tells us, remember. Why? If I remember the things God has done for me, I have gratitude, I'm grateful, I'm thankful. If I'm thankful, I function totally different in my life in any circumstance that comes along, because I'm remembering what the mighty God has done in my life beforehand. And what he's done before, he'll do again.
That's right. So, that's right. Amen.
I'm sorry, kind of wordy, buddy.
Oh, are you a pastor?
Yeah. former. I'm recovered now. I'm recovered.
Oh, you're a recovering pastor. Ron, do you mind? I know that the rest of you know this story, but do you mind if how it was resolved? Was it resolved like in a big flash, or was it quietly resolved?
Wasn't quietly. No.
No.
I was. Okay. So we finished the hearings and trials in Madison. And then with Chicago's or the state Supreme Court, they turned it down, and big, you know, everybody celebrated, all the folks that are my enemies. And then we went to the Seventh Circuit in the federal court in Chicago, and they turned it down because it wasn't worth hearing for them. And there was another big celebration in the media, you know, to affirm that the hateful bigot Ron Greer was blah, blah, blah. So it ended like that. And so the firing was final, and they celebrated, and they go, big announcement, he's out. So
you could have been tempted at that time to be bitter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You could have been tempted.
At that time and after that time, yes.
Yes, you could have been. I can a little bit relate, not as dramatic as everything you'd been through, but I'm in court cases and I just think the way you have handled it is a testimony to others. And I think to see your peace and your grace and your faith intact and walking through the fire, you were walking through fire.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And you didn't let yourself get burned. God protected you.
He did. He did indeed. And I mean, it goes on. He protected me. My kids were, even though I was a public figure, I mean, and telling you on every channel, every newspaper, everybody knew who Ron Greer was. But for some reason, the people at the school, at our school where our kids went, it took them months to realize that these Greers was Ron Greer's, connected to Ron Greer. My wife was a guidance counselor. It took
at
them
that school.
At a different high school,
a
school.
A different one. Okay.
It for some reason, they never made the connection between Ron Greer and Rosalind Greer for probably 10, 11 months. Even though I was a news item. God just kind of put his hand around him.
Protected.
And the one incident where a couple of students were starting to give my middle son some gruff about his bigoted dad, a lesbian teacher stepped in and there to his defense.
There you go.
God just used all sorts of, all kinds of amazing and weird things. And all the time, every time something like that happened, it was just that simple little thing says, trust me.
That's right.
I'm going, all right. I applied, after I lost my job, I was on suspension. So I applied for other jobs. I applied and was turned down for 32 jobs, including McDonald's and Wendy's. No one would touch me anywhere in the entire county area. That's how bad it was. But again, some guy at World Magazine got a bright idea to do this story on this weird story he heard in Madison, Wisconsin. I didn't know who they were. I was interested in sitting down doing an interview because everybody did an interview. It was always crazy. So I said, well, you come here and follow me around. I may do an interview. So some guy came. He literally went with me to the grocery store, doing the yard, fixing some things, talking to me the whole time, doing a story. Goes back, the World Magazine called. They're excited about the story. They want to send a photographer to do pictures. I go, sure. So they did this story. Had no idea who World Magazine was. And I said, our own requirement was, you have to let us review before you print it.
That's what I was going to say. Because you didn't know for sure, right?
Yes. They said yes, but they lied. They printed the magazine and they called us, and on a conference on a speakerphone, sounded like a party in the office about how great this story will receive and how people are going to love it. They had sent us a copy of that day. We got it that day, and I called our lawyer because I wanted to sue them for the picture they put on the front of the magazine. Made me look like a clown, and they were all excited. And my lawyer said, "You can't do anything." Probably one of the largest circulations they had in years before that point. I didn't know World Magazine was literally a world magazine. We started receiving calls and prayer groups from New Zealand, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. I got a call from a pastor in Moscow, Russia on the square once. And one little kid in San Diego, California, first person sent me a check for $250. I called and I tracked him down, tried to give it back. His mother begged me not to crush him. I spoke to the 10-year-old. He explained to him he was praying for me and that he had read my story and he wanted to bless me. Wow. And then from that day forward,
you had to receive. You had to receive that.
Yeah. So this guy kept saying, trust me. You just trust me. I said, okay, Lord. So we've kind of kept walking in that since then.
Are you out of the canoe?
Oh, yeah. Out of the canoe.
Okay. No waters around you on either side.
Yeah, we got to the end. It leveled out. We ended up on the beach.
Good. A nice cookout.
Yeah, laying on the beach now, sipping.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is really a story. And to hear you smiling and laughing through it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You gratitude. See, your face gratitude. Reflects.
Gratitude.
Yeah, that you are not bitter at all.
No, no.
And and that is just a beautiful thing to talk about being tenderized. I should give you the mallet.
Yeah, I got a number of parents have been trying to talk me into writing a book, and I started. It's hard to work on it, but anyway, so they forced me to do this title called "Tried by Fire."
Yeah, that's a good title. That's exactly what I saw you in my mind going through, walking through fire.
One of these days, I'm going to finish it.
Well, God knows the time. His timing is perfect, and he knows exactly who needs to read it when.
Yeah, man. I think you should call it "Thankful for Difficulty" with an exclamation point, and in a small print, "Tried by Fire." There you go.
There you go. You know,
it fits right in, Janet, with what you were saying, because now it's turned into gratitude, like you said.
Yes. I can watch him tell this story, and it is, you know, you have to believe in the goodness of God. When Absolutely. You hear that coming out of that beautiful face and his wonderful heart.
Oh, gracious.
It can only be God. It can only be God.
That's only. Right. Only.
Shined it. Amen. Wow. What do you think, Paul?
I think I have a world of admiration for Ron Greer. God has done so many things in your life. I mean, a Marine who punches somebody out winds up in Leavenworth. And I mean, the story goes on, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. But I have more admiration for Rosalind because she loves you and they stuck by you.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how in the world God ever blessed you with such a lady, you know, and, you know, it's just an amazing thing, Ron. You know, the things that you've gone through, the lives that you've touched and continue to touch because of your faithfulness to him. I don't think people understand that, you know, most people in the world, they don't get it. But when we've got that, like Mark Twain said, the cool confidence of a Christian holding four aces, you know, I mean, we just, it just makes so much sense, you know, and people don't get that. They just don't get that. Yeah. But that speaks volumes to people. And I think it's a, you know, what a wonderful story. I think you should call the book, "They Took Their Best Shot and Lost." You know, so, you know, the world, they're always looking for it. They're always looking for it. I'd like to kind of bounce off something that was said earlier. You know, it's Ron, when you were quoting scripture and Janet, I think one of my favorite verses of the scripture, and I'm going to paraphrase, it's in Psalm 22:3, that God inhabits the praise of his people. Yes. And the spiritual principle there is if you want God on it, you have to learn to praise God in it. And and that's a tough thing, which leads me to just this final thought. I think one of the difficulties is that, like you alluded to, Ron, you know, to hear his voice, we need sometimes people, you know, we need God with skin on. Somebody needs to come alongside and remind us of these things sometimes, because that overwhelming quietness sometimes is really difficult, you know, to deal with. And especially when we feel the loneliness, and Janet, you spoke to that, you know, that gratitude moves a lot, taking care of our loneliness. But to realize that sometimes we don't need to have anything to say. We just need to show up and just be there, you know, for people. And I think the pressure of feeling like we have to have something to say, that's not always true. We just need to show up and to be there. So I just appreciate all that's been shared. You know, and kudos to Rosalind, you know, so and the thing that's remarkable is you know that and that gratitude, I won't say a word. anyway, those are just some thoughts that I had as you were talking. We have a thing with
some of our friends and my mother. She hates when I say it. She said, you know, Rosalind, bless. I said, well, she's an idiot or an angel, one of the two. Either she doesn't know any better or she's an absolute angel.
But what a story.
You mentioned, and that's part of my act of gratitude as well, is my love for her and then the sacrificial living for her. They're just, and I really do, my son sometimes think I'm the biggest wimp in the world. We will be together and they'll go, hey, well, Dad, let's go get something to eat. Okay, let me ask Mom. But we all want to go. I said, well, let me ask Mom first.
Yeah.
Why don't we just make a decision? I said, because mom has to decide. Okay.
That's right.
And their deal is, well, why does mom have to always decide? Because mom is mom. So she decides. When we I have friends who think I'm a snappy dresser. I'm going to confess this to the world. I haven't bought clothing, not a single stitch of clothing, not even underwear and socks, in about 37 years.
Mm-hmm. He does it for you.
She does it for me.
Of course.
She tells me what to, when to put on, what not to put on. I have close friends who know for a fact. Oh, Rosalind went home when he left, was she? I said, no, we knew that.
That's the way you were dressed.
Yeah, there's some my sons together. They go, I don't know. I just have somebody rule my life like that. Said, well, you don't know your mother the way I know her. Then I have no qualms about doing whatever she wants because this woman has walked through hell itself and back just because her husband was crazy enough to do some certain things. So no, I'm grateful to God, and my gratitude is living and sacrificially loving her no matter what.
Amen. That is beautiful. Well, you know, Dennis Prager always says, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Solomon.
Keep them happy. I don't know if you guys watch, I'm sorry, Joe, you go ahead.
No, Janet, go ahead. You're up.
I every once in a while I flip around the channel, and I happened to watch Praise last night when the Crouches were interviewing a man and his wife. Now, I think his name is Victor, and it might be Marx. He's written a book about strong men, and he was actually Charlie Kirk's mentor. When you see him on TV and he gives his testimony of his life, you don't believe that what he lived could actually be survived. And I am still astounded at all he went through. He had a stepfather that almost killed him and held him underwater until he passed out. Many times, 7 years old, held a gun to his head. I mean, the things that were going on in his little life. And his mother was insane. And so she told him, don't ever trust a woman. Don't ever trust a woman. Well, he came to know Jesus in a very amazing, astounding way. And that has saved him from these horrible memories of the past. Mm-hmm. He goes in prisons and talks to men who have been through horrible things too. Mm-hmm. But to see his face, it looked like yours, Ron. You wouldn't believe it because it glows. It glows. So he finally met a woman. He never trusted a woman because his mother told him not to. And she said to him, your mother lied to you. Don't trust that. And if you want to stay married or stay engaged until we're 86 years old, I'm going to stay right by your side. Honestly, I'm not asking anything of you. I am going to prove that I am going to be a loyal person to you. Amen. He's now running for the governor of Colorado.
Oh,
you know who I'm talking about then.
Yes, I know. Yeah, okay.
Is it Victor Marx?
I don't know his name, but I read an article and saw his picture. Yeah.
Gosh. What a story. So he said he heard the voice of God say, run for the governor of Colorado. Said, I want to, it's like dedicate this state to God. It needs so much cleaning
it
out.
Needs much.
I said, California too. I don't suppose he heard me. But we need a cleaning out but to have this man talk this book has got to be unbelievably like your story. You've got to know it's God to make this kind of transformation.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
And bring him this wonderful woman, and they have now been married and have three children, and I hope he wins.
Praise God. Yes. I think we're due for a good another not just a revival but a reformation. I want
I'll
to
take
see
all
another.
of it. Any R-E word.
A great awakening. That's a,
yeah, a great awakening. Yes, another yeah, awakening. Yes, absolutely.
You know, there's what you said too was it just reminds me. I looked at a bunch of different scriptures and began to think how God's used them in my life, and I thought about that one thing I heard preachers say. Since you mentioned CBN there, we've all heard it. You know, I remember hearing it when I was young. That must have been Dr. Jack MacArthur. He was my pastor. John MacArthur was my youth pastor way back then. But used to always say when they preach, you'd hear him say, if you love God and he takes care of things, you need to forgive and you need to forget so that you can move this out of your life by the power of God and you can be what you need to be, stepping up to the next level. Yeah. And I began to think about that till I realized our title today and your testimonies and what you're sharing, they don't fit that love. It's not big enough for the blessing God's given. You really need to forgive and remember. And we can't do that, but you know who can? The same one who took us down these roads. And the difference is when we need to forgive something is probably because we're really hurting. And there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of difficulty. And like a good brother of mine said, just take one day at a time and keep going, Dr. Paul Hall. But anyway, you keep going through life this way. But the thing is, forgive and remember, because if you forgive the way God calls you to forgive and do what you've seen in Ron's testimony and others, what happens is the next time you remember it, it's no longer a painful, difficult experience. It's a joyful reminder of how much God loves you. And like you all said, how much he will meet your each and every need. So forgive and remember in Christ, and then you're ready for the next level. So many times people say, Joe, I want to know God's will for my life. Well, I'm ready. But maybe he's not yet. Because he's preparing you for the next level. And when you start getting prepared, like Ron said, maybe you don't want to get prepared. If you really knew, you might back out and say, I'll take the next bus. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
Right? But instead,
yeah, I'll go to the next one. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Get somebody else.
Yeah.
What you really say is, okay, God, whatever. Yeah. Then when you get to the whatever, all of a sudden you say, oh, wow. Yeah. I got a whole new perspective I never could have got on my own, no matter how much I studied.
Amen.
You know, it was interesting that yesterday on TV, because I love to listen to many different pastors, but the whole theme of them, and it didn't seem to fit into Thanksgiving, but maybe it does, was forgiving. Forgiving and learning how to forgive. Luce Meads, who spoke at our church several times, so impressed, wrote a little tiny book on the art of forgiving. And he was saying a lot of people think that it means restoration of the same relationship. But he said it doesn't. It's just for you in your heart. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, one particular pastor was saying, if you have not forgiven somebody, you're dragging them along through your life like a chain on your ankle.
Right.
And it is dragging you down, and you cannot be free to have an intense, loving, close relationship with God, because that's there. Yeah. You got a dead body, you know, dragging through life.
Yeah.
So it is very, very important to forgive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Well, the joy comes, sure does come then, huh? Boy. I mean, think about our family in Christ. I mean, all of you light up my life in Christ. And I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for the depth and the perception of God's word and the love she has and different roads in her life. I mean, this is really special. Today's her birthday. Imagine that.
Oh, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the gift.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So, but you know.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday, yes.
Wonderful.
Like, suddenly rolling it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. So, but anyway, you're able at that point as we talk about it, then the joy grows and then the future grows, and then your faith grows, and then what you're doing can grow, and it always grows the way God wants it to, and that's the only way you want it to grow. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
The way He's doing amen. It.
So. It's so true. And then we're finally grateful. When I say finally, I'm so grateful that God has been patient with me.
Amen.
You know, I look back on my life and I thought, oh, I did that. Oh my gosh, I said that. Yeah. And I realized that sometimes, you know, the guy on my left shoulder is trying to say, yeah, you remember that? Uh-huh, you remember that. So you really don't deserve anything better.
Right,
and
right.
So we know we're constantly being reminded by things like that.
Yeah.
But I realize that the people, like you mentioned, Ron, I don't think you meant it that you're really cynical about Thanksgiving. Did you? Put words in your mouth.
Cynical about how they've secularized Thanksgiving.
Oh, got it.
I don't know why I haven't learned this lesson yet to be careful about that. I was a pastor of a church, and everybody to this day still remembers my most famous sermon. I started out saying, I hate Christmas. And then I went on to say why I hated what they had done to Christmas, right? No one remembers the rest.
That stuck out.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, so I meant how they secularize it, right. and yes.
Okay, because I'm going to be spending Thanksgiving, and I have a lot of people in my lives who don't have a close relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And I pray that God gives them the experience that He gave me, which was a gift. Nothing I did to deserve it or own it or anything. But I pray that their eyes will be opened like mine were. And it has changed my life amazingly, so that no matter what happens, one day at a time, right? No matter what happens, I know God's going to be with me. He's going to take care of me. But I have to know that they haven't had that experience yet. Mm-hmm. He is patient with me. He's going to be patient with them. So I've got to be careful not to judge their spiritual growth or lack of it, because you know, while there's life, there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still time in all of our lives to grow more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm thankful that I can be thankful. Be redundant.
I can tell Paul's thinking. You can always tell my brother's got stuff rolling. What do you think of that, Paul? How are you doing there?
Yeah. I think when those who are not Christians take a look at the way we Christians handle life, sometimes they get this lopsided idea that we're just happy little campers and, you know, we've got no problems whatsoever and life is
nobody knows that about me.
Yeah, well, you know, the example we have in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he made a statement. He wrote it down for us in 1 Corinthians, and he says, we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. And, you know, I think people respond to genuineness and transparency, you know, that we have in Christ. Even Paul said, I haven't locked into this yet. I've got it here, but it's not, you know, it's not, doesn't have any feet on it yet. And if we could admit that, you know, I think that helps a lot, you know, that transparency, that we have. Larnell Harris, one of my favorite singers, he has a song called, You Were In It After All. Mm-hmm. And part of the song says, we're always ready, Lord, to take the glory, but we're seldom ready, Lord, to take the pain. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really true. There's so much truth in that. But I think the world appreciates genuine people. I think they really do. And if we could reflect an attitude of gratitude, you know, that's hard to come by, but eventually we'll get there. You know, if we just keep leaning, keep trusting, you know.
And I think they're thrilled that we they don't figure out. Somebody even said it to me once, Paul, right on that line, how can you be so happy and you never have an answer? If I have an answer, if I've worked it out, if I've achieved, if I've attained, if I've become, I have habit. Now, how can you, without the answer, be happy? And that only comes from what you said, brother. It just comes from, you know, that the Lord is there. If you know how much you're loved, how does a child get? A child's not afraid of a storm. He runs to his dad or his mom. He runs to a source of love. When we run into difficulties, we're flattened out. We run to our source of love, or we roll to a source of love, depending on how flat we got. But whatever it is, you know, you go to the source, he's there. Oh, my goodness. Hey, we're going to take just a little break here. And Janet, I'm going to roll it back to you to close out. But folks, we're so glad you're listening in tonight. And again, we just appreciate your prayers and your support and from you. Go ahead and text each of us. Go to the website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And read on the site there, get our emails, our numbers. You can get a hold of us there and let us know how we can pray for you. I enjoy and I'm thrilled by hearing from you and praying for you and what God is doing. But and also along that line, very quickly, thank you for your donations, your gifts of love, your love gifts to keep the program going. We could really use those. And we just thank you in advance for what God leads you to do and pray that he blesses you even more than he blesses us because of it and for because of your heart. And so, Lord bless you. You mean the world to us. Janet, we've got 2 minutes. Give us a thought maybe on that gratitude and
Well, God uses everything in our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But you guys have been a special blessing to me. And I am grateful to God for your invitation, Joe, to come and be with you and to get to know you and to get to know about your lives and to get to welcome Melba into the family. And on her birthday, what a special day it is. But I am very grateful for all of you. And this is God's church. He uses the millions of people who are believers, and we're all his church. So it's up to us to reflect that attitude of gratitude to those that we will be around this holiday season, and to not be afraid to tell them what we've been through. And we're not complaining, complaining. We're actually, it's a badge of honor to join in the sufferings of Jesus.
Amen.
It really is, to live sacrificially. I think you said that, Ron.
Amen.
Live sacrificially.
Amen. And
so that makes me grateful for the hard times.
Okay.
But when I meet with you, that's not one of them. That's absolutely a joy.
Paul, could you kind of pray us out? We've got a minute. And Janet, thank you so much. We're so thankful for you.
My pleasure. Thank you. It's a privilege and an honor. Thank you.
Great to have you. Let's pray.
Praise God.
Amen. Sure. For the tornado, we don't know much, but let's lift people up, especially our family there at BBS.
Yes.
Father, we just come to you thanking you and praising you for who you are. Thanking you that you hold on to us, even though we wiggle so hard to get away sometimes. I thank you, Lord, that you are so gracious to us, and your grace is more than we can comprehend.
Yes.
And thank you for taking our brokenness and putting us together and healing us and encouraging us along the way. And we do pray, Father, for those who are in the Texas area and may be experiencing the tornadoes and the power outages. Lord, I pray that be restored quickly and that injuries be kept to a minimum. Thank you for those people who are the first responders who move in so quickly, and pray that you protect them and take care of them. Mm-hmm. But Lord, we ask in this season of Thanksgiving that we realize more and more of the things in our lives for which we are thankful. Mm-hmm. And for those things we're still working on, Father, I just ask that as they keep putting little pins in our life, let it be a reminder that we need you and we need to trust you and open our hearts to you. But I just want to thank you for that. And thank you for the people on this program and the people listening to it. And Lord, I pray that the blessings just be poured out on them and that your grace would be known as super abundant. Mm-hmm. So Lord, we thank you for this evening. We pray that through this night, you would give us peace and you would strengthen us. And as we prepare to express our thanksgiving, Lord, may we come with open hands and open hearts in the grace that you've given us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We love and appreciate you and thankful. We are so thankful for all of you. Thanks, Janet. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Ron.
Thanksgiving, everybody.
Good to see you.
Thanksgiving.
God bless you.
God bless you guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.